Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call of Vardhman Special Steels hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shreya Manivannan from IIFL Securities Limited. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I welcome you all to the earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and FY 2022 for Vardhman Special Steels Limited. We are pleased to have with us Mr. Sachit Jain, Vice Chairman and MD, and his team. We will have the opening remarks from the management, followed by a question answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shreya. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining our call today. It's been a very interesting year. It's been a record year of sorts. We have had all-time high sales, all-time high production, all-time high operating profit, all-time high net profit, and we've also been able to increase the dividend from 1.5 rupees a share to 3.5 rupees a share. Apart from just the financial performance, it's been a very turbulent year in terms of the rockiness of raw material prices. Raw material prices shot up continuously through the year, then corrected, and then crazily shot up again towards the end of the year. We also had the Russia-Ukraine war. Because of that, raw material prices shot up further. There's also a demand turbulence because two-wheelers were slow in the demand as well as cars, where the demand was good, but with the chip shortage, you had a problem in terms of production and therefore demand for steel was low. Overall basis, fourth quarter of the year ended on a low demand, but we were able to more than cover our targeted and our guidance of sales of beyond. We said we'll be 165,000-175,000 tons, and we reached 173,000 tons. Moving ahead, because of the high-priced raw material, the kind of prices, price increase that we need from April is huge. We also understand auto companies will not be able to give those kind of price increases in terms of sales, especially in the view of soft sales. These various steel companies have sent out letters of between 22,000-25,000 rupees per ton price increase from first April. Discussions are on. Obviously, no one can give those kind of price increase, but we still are hoping for about 15-20. Again, what we learned is some of the auto companies are sitting at between 10-12, and somewhere between this figure and 18 is where the settlements will happen. One OE has already given a price of 17,000. One large tier one has given a price of 17,500. Those are the kind of levels that have happened. Other discussions are going on, so we don't know where things will settle down. Meanwhile, for this year, we expect to have sales increase further on our sales from 173,000 last year. We hope to be between 180,000-185,000. Again, if the auto market, I mean, if the two-wheeler market takes off, of course, we'll be able to up the target from the current levels. Our EBITDA guidance for last year, we said, was between 7,000-10,000 rupees per ton, will remain this year also. Last year was higher, and fourth quarter results were better than what we had guided because of two reasons primarily. One, we got this past government incentive, which has elements of the previous year, which is 21-22, as well as 2021 and part of 1920, small part of 1920. So it has some element of annual performance and some element of past performance which came. And second, because of the massive increase in raw material prices, we also had big valuation gains, which are part of the fourth quarter profits. Of course, we could not visualize those things when we were getting the guidance for the fourth quarter in our January call. As regards Aichi, our first order with Aichi has come in. It is to be dispatched in May, and we seem to be on track in terms of the development orders. As we said earlier, again, 22-23 is the area of trial orders. 23-24, we start getting production orders. And 24-25, we should hit the current plan that we see, which is between up to 50,000 tons of export orders. It could be 30 to 50,000 tons of export orders that we can visualize at this point. Of course, all depends on reaching the quality levels, establishing ourselves, bringing in lot-to-lot consistency. So there's still a lot of work ahead for us. The other thing I wanted to share is that the way we see, we will be running short of capacity in the year 24-25. Till then, we have capacity. And once our collaborators come in, they plan to come in this month itself, we will start serious discussions again for the need for capacity enhancement. The other question you will be asking is overall the CapEx plans. So the CapEx plan, which was 250 crores earlier, have been up by 50 crores, and be 300 crores for the 5-year period, which began a year and a half ago. So out of that, about 40 crores have already gone in. So about 260 crores is to be spent in the remaining period. So I think that is enough for the opening remarks. We remain excited about the business. The kind of interest that our foreign customers have with us is only increasing. The interest IT has in us remains very strong. And we'll have very serious discussions with them this time. In the domestic market also, our customers are happy with us. We have been able to make serious inroads into the EV market. This year onwards, we will start reporting our sales to the EV segment as a percentage of total sales. The other, before I hand over to Singla for some very brief numbers, ESG has become a very big area. So though it is not required, mandated to us, but we have hired a consultant to measure our carbon footprint. As you all are aware, that global customers everywhere have become conscious of the carbon footprint. And in steel making, very clearly, the secondary steel manufacturers, people like ourselves, who make steel from the electric arc furnace route, have a much lower carbon footprint than the primary steel producers who produce from the blast furnace. So this is an area we will have a huge advantage in time. So initially, it will be in terms of just reference, I would think. And later, at some stage, as Europe has introduced a carbon tax, Singapore has introduced a carbon tax, at some stage in the future, maybe 5 years later, 7 years later, one doesn't know when, but there could be possibilities of India also having a carbon tax. But one doesn't know about that. The point is, very clearly, preference towards electric arc furnaces could go up. That seems to be the global trend. That is enough for my opening remarks. So, Singla, very quickly, if you can cover some very key numbers very briefly, and then we are open for questions.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. During the quarter ended 31st March 2022, our total volumes stand at 41,596 tons, And in terms of rupees, our total revenue stands at 343 crores. This is 2.65% higher than the corresponding quarter of last year. This is despite lower volume by 13%, mainly because of the price increases which we have received during the year. And in terms of EBITDA, we ended this quarter with about 60 crores of PBDIT as against 55 crores last year. And it also includes electricity duty exemption granted by the Punjab government under its industrial policy amounting to rupees 18.65 crores, which partly pertains to the current year and partly pertains to the previous year, previous 1.5 years. So quarter four PAT stood at 29 crores as against 26 crores with an increase of 10.74%. And for the full financial year, the PAT stands at 100.75. It has more than 100 crores as against profit of 44 crores in the corresponding year last year. So that's all from our side. And just one thing wanted to add to the opening remarks of Jayanta, that during the quarter we have switched over to natural gas in place of furnace oil, just a step towards betterment of environment and in compliance with the requirements under Ministry of Environment. Thank you. And now we are open for the question answers.
And again, sorry, before the question, one more thing. We had said that we will target a 25% EBITDA to capital employed by 24-25. And we are lucky. This year, we happen to have hit that figure. I'm not saying it's a repeatable figure next year onward every year. But at least I'm happy to see that once, before our targeted year of 24-25, we've hit the figure of 25% EBITDA to capital. Yeah, open for questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Sudhir Bhada with White Time Consultancy Services Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations for good set and very elaborative investor presentation, sir.
So, thank you.
Sir, I missed that figure when you said our total production and sales would be 182,000 to 185,000 for FY 22.
180 to 185.
Yeah, sales. But I missed the EBITDA figure. What would the EBITDA per ton would be?
In rupees, 7 to 10,000 tons, which is our guidance.
Pardon?
We expect 7 to 10,000 rupees a ton, okay. EBITDA.
10,000. Okay.
Yeah, we are not changing our guidance.
Okay. And sir, as you said, IT's order will be dispatched this year, trial order. So
yeah, for May. No, this month.
This month itself. This year would be the trial year, and then next year from onward, you will be dispatching bigger quantities, right?
Correct.
So will that orders will come at a higher EBITDA or how this...
See, we don't discuss too much our pricing across customers, but I had a CNBC interview today morning where also they asked the same question. So Aichi is an investor and a partner, but all pricing is at arm's length basis. So the pricing formulas will be as remunerative, if not better, for the company.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. And sorry, just to add to that, as remunerative, in a longer term framework, you see the pricing formulas in terms of when prices change are different for different companies. So there will be times where Indian market will be more profitable and there will be a time when Indian market will be less profitable and these customers will be more profitable. I'm just saying on an overall basis, the profitability would be of a similar order or better.
Thank you. Our next question is from Devang Sanghvi with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good performance for FY22 as a whole.
Thank you, Devang.
My first question is on the demand side, sir. In terms of segment-wise, how is the demand environment currently from two-wheelers, passenger vehicles and commercial vehicles? Can you throw some light on the same?
So demand is still low from two-wheelers. Cars is picking up. Commercial vehicles is fine. Tractors also seems to be okay. And you see, we are also in a position that we are pushing to take orders where certain, because now we have more capacity this year. So we are not constrained by capacity. So we are pushing to take some orders. And I expect first quarter to be reasonable, definitely better than the fourth quarter of last year in terms of projects.
Right, sir. And we have a volume guidance of 180,000 to 185,000. And in the opening comments, you suggested there is an upside bias if two-wheeler surprises. So
yes.
How much additional volume can we expect if two-wheeler surprises?
I have no idea. But this can go up to 190. May go up to 195, one doesn't know. But 190 is something which clearly we see as a possibility. 190 to 195 could be a possibility. But at this point in time, it's too early to start guiding on those numbers.
Right.
Because our customers are pretty fixed. Right. And ours is a derived demand.
Mm-hmm.
So, if our customer segments do well, we will do well. And we are gaining share constantly in these segments also, in a slowly, bit by bit manner.
Right. My second question on the pricing side, if you have shown some light on the negotiation part, I just wanted to know, we will continue with quarterly negotiation or half-yearly negotiation going forward? Because we shifted to half-yearly 6 months back.
So we did not shift, you see, we have to understand the situation. As steel suppliers, we prefer quarterly negotiation.
Right.
As auto companies, they prefer 6 monthly contracts.
Okay.
Right. And they are the more powerful people.
Right, sir.
So the trend will be towards 6 monthly, which is always 6 monthly. It's only in very crazy situations, as has been happening in the last 1.5 years, that we shifted to quarterly.
Got it.
The way it seems now, because of the massive volatility in prices, nobody will want 6 monthly contract. So everybody will want a 3 monthly contract, because we have no way of figuring out that today there's a massive rise in raw material prices. Will this correct immediately? Will the war end in 10 days' time? Will there be truce? One doesn't know. So nobody wants to take a long-term bet. And in all probabilities, this settlement will be a quarterly settlement. But if they give 20,000 or 22,000 rupees, we will definitely go for a 6 monthly settlement. If they give, let's say, 10 to 12,000 rupees, we will say no way, only a 3 monthly settlement. If they give in between somewhere, I mean, then we'll see at that point in time.
Right, because a big price hike gets bunched up. Two quarters price.
This is absolutely crazy. I mean, I have not seen this kind of time. I've been working for 30 years, for steel industry in 12 years. But this kind of rise in raw material prices, relentless rise, this massive rise, is something I haven't seen in my career.
Right.
So these are very uncertain times. In fact, ideally, I should say forecasts for this year are off, because it can be a stupendous year if we get 22,000 rupees price increase. It'll be a fantastic year, way beyond what we've seen in the past. So very difficult to make a prediction this year, because these are beyond normal price changes.
Yes, sir, I agree on that. My question is regarding the new capacity coming up, the rolling capacity. By what quarter it will be coming up, or what, which month it will be?
Come in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter. So please expect the impact of it happening only next year.
Right, right. Can I squeeze in the last question, if I may?
But again, rolling capacity doesn't matter too much, because we have, main thing is having melting. And we will be able to get some job work done from outside, etc. If the demand is high and there is need for more production.
Yeah, that is fine.
That will not be a constraint in terms of increased sales, suppose the market suddenly picks up.
And if the demand is there, we can kind of do a job work and can cater to the demand.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not for all products, but certain products we can. So we will do all those plannings in advance, stock some products, get some products done, or job work and so on. All that is something we'll. So this year also, you will see inventory of finished goods at a little higher level, preparing for our January shutdown of the rolling mill. So there will be inventory levels will be higher because of higher value, and second, inventory levels will remain higher also because of higher stock, preparing for the January shutdown.
Right, sir. And my last question is regarding the movement in the raw material pricing as compared to Q4 versus April. So how they would have moved in April as compared to Q4 average, scrap and graphite electrodes and other key raw materials?
I don't have those figures with me. Graphite electrodes would have gone up by about 40 rupees, Singha?
Yeah, about 30 rupees a kg.
30 rupees a kg, graphite electrodes. And the scrap prices are changing on a daily basis. Very difficult to say how much it is. Yeah, it's every day is different.
Right, sir. No problem, sir. Thank you very much for all the answers and all the best, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from line of Vivek Ramakrishnan with DSP Mutual. Please go ahead. Mr. Ramakrishnan, your line has been unmuted. You can proceed with your question.
Hi, sorry. I think I muted myself by mistake. What is the quantum of CapEx which is left in the current year in terms of CapEx spend? And with this, at the end of this year, would you have completed your full phase of CapEx is question number one. Question number two is in terms of inventory, you had said that it would be elevated looking into January shutdown next year. So would it be through the year, or would you be decreasing it? Because in the last conference call, you had mentioned that it would come down and then go up again. And the last question that I have is in terms of power costs and the power situation in your plant. Is there any situation of lack of power, or would that not be an issue at all for industrial users? That's all. Thank you.
Okay. So let me start with the last question first. So power clearly is a problem. However, so far we haven't faced any shutdowns for industry. And the government has assured us if the monsoon is normal, there will be minuscule shutdowns. And if you recall, last year itself, we had about 12 days loss of production because monsoons were delayed. So I don't think we'll have power outages more than last year. Unlikely. Okay? But very difficult to predict this now. So, but our estimation is it will be unlikely worse than last year, and may actually be better than last year. As regards CapEx, we have overall about 260 crores of CapEx left. One big chunk of CapEx is regarding our ox mill, which will happen in the subsequent years. But a large chunk of the 260 crores will happen between this year and next year. So there will be some rollover and some spillover, etc. But the larger chunk of the 260 crores will happen between 2 years, this year and next year.
Sir, thank you, sir. And then on the inventory as well, please.
Yeah, so inventory, as you will see, inventory levels did come down and will start rising now in terms of finished goods. So on raw material front, the inventory levels will not rise because we are not taking a position on raw material at these levels. Graphite electrodes also, in physical terms, the inventory levels will come down because I don't think we want to take a position much longer. And we will, therefore, we have 1 year stock of graphite electrodes, and we will bring down this inventory. The finished goods inventory, because we have a rolling mill shutdown, will increase every month till January. And then after January, when the shutdown happens, we expect to run through those inventory levels. And you know, because we're in the service industry, we will need to have a higher inventory than our sales, because you know there's always fluctuation in demand, and a particular customer needs a particular product more than forecast and so on. So inventory levels will need to be higher. But between February and March, then we hope to bring on those inventory levels.
Thank you, sir, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Falguni Datta with Jet Age Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So congratulations on very good numbers. So I just have a question as an aside on this, the shifting from furnace oil to gas that you mentioned. Just to know, at current prices, is gas still cheaper than furnace oil?
Yes, it is cheaper.
And where are we sourcing our gas from? Meaning who would be the supplier?
Think gas?
Yeah, for gas.
Think gas.
I missed you.
The company name is Think.
Okay.
It's a startup. I mean, it's a new company funded by a PE.
Okay. So can you just say it? I just missed it.
Think. THINK. When you think something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
They want you to think of gas. They want you to think of gas and think of them. Think gas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir. Congratulations once again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ritwik with One Up Financial Consultants Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, sir. Congratulations on a great 2022.
Thank you, Ritwik.
So firstly, is it possible to quantify the inventory gain in Q4 as you have mentioned in the press release?
No, it is possible, but we don't share those numbers.
Okay. Sure.
It is exactly quantified.
Okay. Yeah. And on the CapEx, you mentioned that CapEx has increased from 250 to 300 crores. So what would be the primary reason for this? Is it because of cost overrun?
The Cox Mill.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a sizing block which is used. So we will replace a couple of stands in our rolling mill and replace this with a precision block. The whole idea of this precision block is then you will be able to reduce the changeover times and give very, very fine quality as far as the surface is concerned and diameter is concerned. So currently, let us say we have size of 34 mm, then 36 mm and 38 mm and 45 mm and so on. With this, you can do 36.1, 36.2, 36.3. So very, very precise. As well as changeover time is 3 minutes, whereas otherwise changeover time is 1 hour within one family of change. So we will save changeover times, which we'll improve quality. We will save changeover times, which means we can give better service to customers, as well as we should be able to reduce our finished goods inventory by the time we go through the pitch.
Okay. Sure. And you mentioned...
And this is pretty standard equipment. It's not as if there is some R&D about it. This is...
Right.
This sizing block is a well-known thing. Our partner, Raichi, also has it.
Okay.
Better technology.
Better technology. Okay. Thanks. Sir, you mentioned on the demand for two-wheelers, you know, on a couple of fronts that it's weak. So if you look at two-wheeler demand in the financial year gone, it was down 10-11%. And generally, you have mentioned that two-wheelers is about 30% of our sales. So
Correct.
despite that, we have grown, and I believe EV must have at least compensated for that and rail. So is it possible to give some split between EV? You mentioned it's 5-6%. Rails are supplied to rails. You know, what would be it?
It is still small. The percentage is small.
Okay, so it would be less than
So
5%?
I would think so. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
We intend to increase this. So we are having more focus on it. So we will be increasing the sales today.
Right. And so what would be your aspiration, you know, in terms of over the next 3 years from the EV segment and the rail segment? Can we reach double digit in the next 3 years, say by FY25 end?
See, for rail, no way will we reach that level. EV all depends on how fast the market grows. We have positioned ourselves pretty well. And again, as I said earlier, we are a steel supplier. It doesn't matter to us which segment does well or not. As long as we are in the segments which are growing fast and we'll participate in the growth, so if EV grows, we will grow.
Right.
So we are pretty well positioned in that segment.
Sure. And just to follow up on this, our EV supplies would be for four-wheelers or for two-wheelers?
I think largely four-wheelers, but we don't know where all our customers are supplying, because some of our customers are ones who have the flexibility to source for various customers. So, like, for example, when we say we are approved by Maruti or we are approved by Hero, so then we know where that material is going. But there are certain customers, large customers who have been established very well, they have the flexibility from the OE, that they have the flexibility to source the steel from.
Right.
But largely it'd be for the four-wheeler segment. Both domestic and export. You see, domestic market is still very tiny.
Right.
This is a component export.
Sure. So we would be supplying to tier one who would
We'll be supplying steel to a tier one who will supply, or tier two or a tier one who will supply to the final OE. Largely, the bigger chunk is for exports. So it is largely four-wheelers. The domestic market, I will not know. There's a much smaller part, so I'm not aware of the split between four-wheelers. But on an overall basis, it's much, much larger proportion is for the four-wheelers.
Okay. That's encouraging, sir. Okay, sir, that's it from my side. All the best, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anil Kumar Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congrats for the good number always, and giving the increased dividend also. So
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sharma.
Sir, my question is only one, as earlier also I have asked you. Recently there was a news that PLI scheme has been revised for special steel. Are we in the revised scheme? We are eligible for PLI scheme?
See, the scheme which came out, in fact, excluded most of the special steel producers.
Right, sir.
So, which is what we have been protesting with the government, that the scheme is not meant for us.
Recently, there was a news
And
that they have revised it. Even then, after
so they have revised it, but we haven't seen the revised scheme. So once the revised scheme comes, they have extended the time by 1 month more. So hopefully the revised scheme will be out very soon. And we are told that our concerns have been addressed and will be met. So let's see when the scheme comes up.
Okay, we are not still aware of let us hope for the best. Right, sir, all other
So some of the products that are covered in the scheme are part of our strategy to develop. So if the scheme comes out, which makes us eligible to apply, we will be applying strongly, and we will be beneficial.
Right, sir. Thanks, and best wishes for your great
Thank
effort.
you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Aniket Wadekar with an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on the good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question, is there any addition in or PPE?
I'm sorry, PPE?
Property, plant and equipment.
Oh, yes. Every year we are continuously investing in that.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay, and sir, the next question is related to the CapEx, the expansion plan which we are planning. So, is there any equity dilution?
So, let me answer that question in two ways. Is there any need for equity dilution? No, there is no need for equity dilution.
Okay.
So, because our debt equity is a very healthy... Our debt equity is below 0.25, and with the cash accruals and incremental debt raising capacity, we will be able to fund this capex. So there is no need for any dilution. Now, second, but the question is that will there be an equity dilution? It will depend on when our partners would like to increase their stake. Because there is an understanding between them and us that at some stage they will raise their stake. And so depending on when they decide to raise their stake, there will be some dilution.
Okay.
But that could happen this year, it could happen next year, it could happen 2 years down the line. Difficult to say. But it is a clear understanding between them and us that at some stage they will increase their stake. And the probability is that we will not sell our stake, and any stake increase will happen with some dilution.
Okay. Oh. So, there is decrease.
But let me share that with all our investors on the call. In case there is a dilution and they invest, this will be seen as a very big positive by our customers, because currently their stake is at 11.5%, which is a foothold in our company. I have been sharing on the con calls that our relationship is very, very strong, very, very strategic. But to give more confidence in the customers, we are talking about the global customers, Toyota Group and Toyota's various suppliers like JTEC, Aishin, etc., and other Japanese OE, a stake increase from this level will show that Aichi is showing more confidence in the company than when they started with us. So if this offer to increase the stake comes, as management, we will be recommending, of course it's a board decision, but as a management, very clearly we will welcome it. And we will strongly recommend to our board. And then, of course, all these things come to the shareholders for approval. So I'll be urging, whenever such a proposal comes, I'll be urging the board as well as the shareholders to approve this kind of proposal.
Okay, got it. So, there is decrease in the interest cost. So, is this due to the part payment of long-term borrowing? So, kindly help us to understand which loan we have been, which has been repaid.
So, Singla, if you can answer that question. I mean, with the cash accruals, clearly we have a lot of money available with us. So, loans have been prepaid. So, Singla, if you can answer that question, please.
Yes, it's mainly because of the accruals, due to which our overall utilization bank borrowings came down. And secondly, last year, the interest rates were also lower than comparatively corresponding previous year. So these are the two major reasons due to which our financial cost is lower by rupees 2 crores to 2.5 crores.
Oh. Okay. Oh. One more question, sir. How do we see the industry look like at this moment, and how do we anticipate the demand, keeping in mind as the slowdown in the auto industry?
I'm sorry, please repeat the question. I couldn't hear that.
Okay. My question is, how do you see the industry at this moment look like, and how we can anticipate the demand, keeping in mind that slowdown in the auto industry and the news heard?
So let me share with you that when last year was it, when somebody like Rajiv Bajaj or Bajaj Auto said, I have no way of predicting where this industry volumes are going to be and so on. He made some similar statement. Now, we are derived producers, okay? So there is no way we can predict that. But having said that, we have said very clearly in the past, we have 1.5 years of demand uncertainty where we are dependent on the domestic market. After that, when the export demand kicks off from 23-24, we do not see this uncertainty. And from 24-25, we have the other problem. We're going to have a problem of not having enough capacity. So if there's a demand slowdown in India, we'll welcome it with folded hands that there is a demand slowdown in India.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, one more question, sir. That the gas which you are saying, the thin gas.
Yeah.
So, right now the prices of gas is also started increasing. So, what would be our measures? I mean, the gas which you are sourcing from thin, is it in control, or the price which they are giving us, is the very reasonable?
See, the price is reasonable, but the price is in their control, and they will, as their cost is going up, it is very difficult to continue to sell gas with all the substantially lower prices than the market. So those prices also keep going up. So very difficult. We are price takers out here. We are not a negotiator. We are a small, tiny user compared to their volumes.
Okay.
But as of now, since the gas has been put in, we have saved substantial money every month.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much. This is from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Ritwik with One Up Financial Consultants Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the follow-up. Two questions. What is the maximum output possible at current capacity for us? You mentioned
the current capacity just now, till we get the environmental approval, which we expect we'll get by September or so. Till that time, our maximum capacity, license capacity, is 200,000 tons of billets, which translates to about 180,000 tons of rolled product. And with the capex which has already gone on in the furnace, our capacity will rise to about 250,000 to 260,000 tons. That's 250,000 tons. So from capacity point of view, we are ready to do about 240,000 to 250,000 tons. So moment we get the environmental approval, which should happen with some capex that we are doing, which will get commissioned by July, then we'll apply to the Environment Ministry as well as Pollution Control Board that we have already done all these things, and they should give us the approval. And from September or October, we should be ready to, from capacity point of view, then we can say that our rated capacity is gone. But till that time, our rated capacity will remain 200,000 tons. Even if we can produce more, we cannot produce more because our licensed capacity is 200,000 tons.
Right. So just to reiterate, and whether I have understood it right now the billet capacity is 200,000 tons. After we receive the environmental approval, where we are doing some environmental related capex, this billet capacity will increase to 250,000 to 260,000 tons per
annum. Correct.
And at that rate, we can, and then the rolling mill will come subsequently, which will increase our capacity output to about
230,000
tons per annum.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And even then we can outsource and take our volumes if the demand is there.
No. This will match our requirements.
Okay.
Then beyond that, we have to outsource billets for some products and rolled products for some products.
Okay, sir. And one bookkeeping question. What is the net debt as of March 22?
Again, Singla will answer. I think about 130 crores.
It is 122 crores exactly.
Okay. My apologies, 122.
So yeah. This has gone down despite the higher working capital on absolute terms.
Yes. My CFO is a wizard, so I don't know how he cooks up, he cooks the books and does these things, but fortunately we have KPMG as auditor, so I have full faith with the numbers.
Absolutely. And sir, what would be the FY23 capex?
Roughly 100 crores, Singla?
This year it will be, yes, close to 100 crores.
Okay, so 100 and possibly around 80 to 90 for next year as well.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks for answering all the questions.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Radha with BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, I'm a friend.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just two questions from my side. Could you give us the breakup of your customer mix in 4Q FY22?
Customer mix we don't give. We don't give customer mix.
Okay. The next question would be, you mentioned that you were expecting some price hikes in April. So, and you were saying that various steel companies have sent out letters for these price increases. Now, which segment would you think that it would be easy to pass on the price hikes to? Would it be two-wheelers or four-wheelers?
No segment. This kind of price increases is not easy with any OE.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Namish Gupta with Namish Gupta and Company. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity, and congratulations for the good set of numbers.
Thank you.
So, sir, I have like two questions. I think I missed that. You said that IT will be welcome for more equity stake purchases. So will that dilution, like going forward, it will be from the existing promoter's stake or it will be from the market?
See, as of now, very difficult to say exactly. First of all, when will they come with a proposal? My expectation in the next 2 to 3 years, they will come with such a proposal. When it will happen this year, next year, or the year after that, I don't know at this point. But very clearly, there is an understanding between us that at some stage, they will increase their stake. So that is one. Two, increased stake can happen by sale from promoters, or it can happen by dilution when the company issues new equity. In all probabilities, the issuance will be from new equity by the company. But again, at that point in time, it depends on the market situation and Vardhman Textiles CapEx plan. I can say about myself, my stake of roughly 14% that I have, which is my personal stake, I will not be selling any stake.
Great, sir. Sir, my second question is like, sir, in previous conference calls, you told that year 24-25, there will be, in fact, you will be sitting on the much lesser capacity and the demand would be much more. So, sir, any significant thinking or like planning at that level when you are deciding to expand out of the current facility also?
So, left to me, it is high time we start the process of putting up a new plant. However, it is not my decision alone. It is a decision that has been taken in conjunction with our partners. And when they are sitting far away in Japan, we are still less than 3 years in our relationship. It is not very easy to take a decision on a new CapEx. A new plant will be much bigger than the existing plant. So CapEx requirements are also going to be much larger. So discussions will start when they come in. They're going to be here in 2 weeks' time. We will be discussing very seriously about the need to put up a new plant. Then which state, timing, etc. This is with the Japanese, it's a process. It doesn't happen that, okay, you say, okay, we decide to put up a plant and we agree and we start. It doesn't happen then. But the point I said very clearly is the need to put up a new plant is very clear and evident. Second, as part of a long-term strategy, putting up a new plant is part of the long-term strategy. So before the year 2030, the new plant will be up and running. But when before 2030, will it be 2026, will it be 2027 or 28? Very difficult to say at this point in time. But the point is, the fact is, we have now started discussing the need immediately to start thinking of a new plant.
Okay. And sir, you have given a guidance that till 2025, you will be able to like achieve this ROC of 20.
This is not a guidance. This is a target.
Okay. So,
Very difficult for me to say I will achieve a particular financial number. But it is a target for myself and for my management team. That by 2024-25, when our CapEx is fully utilized, we should hit a figure of about 25%. If we hit this year was, I'm not saying this is a repeatable performance, but a figure of 25% in EBITDA to capital employed is something that we would like to target. This is something which will make us feel, you know, that we've done a decent job.
Okay. So, sir, just, I mean, if you can just throw one thing on this, like, currently, like, this steel prices are, like, going forward, and normally, we have, like, heard that, like, the commodity cycle runs for, like, 4 to 5 years normally. So, even right. Considering that kind of run-up in this, prices, if we, like, assume these, like, sustained for next 3 to 4 years, then even you would be able to achieve, like, on account of like cost efficiencies, like you mentioned you have switched to the natural gas. Like, I just want to ask
one. So please understand that we are not a commodity steel producer. So in fact, when steel sector does very well, that is not a very good sign for us. Mm-hmm. For us, the ideal time is when steel sector is doing okay and auto sector is booming.
Okay.
Because please understand, it is a negotiated price. The steel producers sell as commodities. So long products which go into construction steel, broad steel, the prices change on a daily basis in the market. HRCs also, the prices change. So they go up way higher. And auto companies also give the swings in prices they give to the HRCs way higher than they give to long products like ours. So which means when the boom time is coming, like currently it is steel boom time, our results are not as good as steel companies. And when the bad times come, our results are not as bad as the steel companies. So there you will see a much higher volatility in numbers. In our case, you will not see that high volatility.
So I think in that sense, we can say like for next 1.5 years, like these prices are so much rising or sustainable. So your results will be much more volatile on that account since the raw material prices would be much higher.
One doesn't know. Today it is high. But will they remain at these levels? Very difficult to say. If the war comes to an end, moment supply chains settle down a bit, there will be some massive availability of scrap, because so much of scrap would have been generated, in the war, that scrap will come to the market, and certain other segments, you know, very difficult to make those kind of predictions at this point.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks for giving the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Devang Sanghvi with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the follow-up. Just a bookkeeping question. We had 18 crores of one-time gain due to past growth and incentive, some part of which is recurring in nature. I just want to know what the quantum of recurring in nature.
Singla, if you can answer that. Should be what you did.
Because this is pertaining to the electricity duty exemption, and on this account, on recurring, we will be getting about 9 crores per annum on current consumption of power.
Right. That's very helpful. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohan Mehta, an investor. Please go ahead.
And congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you, Rohan.
Sir, most of my questions are already answered, but just had a couple of more questions. So our revenue realizations seem to have improved in Q4. So assuming that, of course, the price increase for our products is here to stay, and if the volatility in raw material prices stabilizes, then would it be safe to assume that these realizations would continue down the coming quarters?
So from April, as I said, at the minimum, we are expecting 10 to 12,000 rupees further increase.
Okay.
From the current levels. So current average for the year was around 80,000, Shiva?
Yes, sir, 80,000 rupees a ton.
Yeah, so the current average for last year is 80,000 rupees. On this 80,000, we are expecting minimum 10 to 12,000 rupees. And could be 15 to 20. So one doesn't know. But assuming at the lower end, if we get 10,000 rupees, so we're getting a 12.5% increase in realization from first year. And if you get 15,000, and if you get 15,000, I mean, that much more. So, you know, so that's the, these numbers are like crazy. This kind of increase, I haven't been. Earlier, you used to get 1,000 rupees or 2,000 rupees up or down. Last year, suddenly you saw these big numbers of 4,700 and, you know, those look like massive numbers. And suddenly you're saying 10 to 12,000 at a minimum. I mean, these are insane figures. But this is the reality.
Right. And sir, our other expenses have reduced. So is it the switch to natural gas or other areas also we've saved expenses?
There is always constant cost saving going on. But there are some areas costs have gone up, some areas costs have gone down. But the big area of cost saving has been clearly gas. But that is a very small amount has gone in the last year because this gas came in February. So we got 1.5 months of saving of last year. So it's not that big a chunk. But basically what happened is when volumes go up, the cost per ton comes down. Yes, correct.
Right, sir. Got it. Fair enough, sir. But effect of this switch to natural gas, its benefit on the margins is likely to be felt in the coming quarters, right, sir?
If the current pricing differential remains. You see, we are price takers as far as furnace oil is concerned. We are price takers as far as gas is concerned. So we have no way in determining what the prices will be. So what prices we get, we buy, we use, and if the prices are attractive, we save money compared to furnace oil. But very difficult to predict all those things.
Okay. Just one last question. I was curious about you mentioned that IG may increase its stake in the company, and that it could be a good step for us as well. So do you see any sort of a timeline where that might happen and a sort of a rough ballpark figure of what kind of stake would be transferred to them?
I have no way of giving out a timeline, but I said within the next 2 to 3 years. if this should happen. And two, very clearly, there is a trigger, I think, at 25% is a trigger for open offer. So it's 24 or 25, that's the number for the open offer. So very clearly, okay. Any increase will be below that number.
Okay, got it.
So at best, it will be up to 25, but I would say somewhere between 20 to 24%. So currently, they own about 11.4%. So
right.
The stake would, whatever the increased stake after a proposed dilution, would be in the range of 20 to 25%. I would like it to be lower because we really don't need that much money. I mean, we need zero money, as I said. In terms of need of money, there is zero need of money. So since there is zero need of money, I would like to keep it as low as possible. But it has to be reasonable. You can't say we'll dilute and we will dilute by 4%. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So that is one. The other thing, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, sir.
No, other thing I want to bring to the notice of all investors on the call, we will be shifting to a lower tax regime from this year. So from the earlier 33%, we'll be shifting to the 25% tax regime. All our past, et cetera, has been dealt with. The MAT credit minor amount was still there, which has been adjusted, written off, or whatever you call it. The accountants know what we call it, but that has been done away with. So we will be shifting to the new tax regime from this year.
Okay. Great, sir. Just one last strategic question I had. With the involvement with Aichi increasing and the relationship building stronger, are we going to sometime down the line see substantially more revenue coming in from our exports? I mean, overseas markets?
For sure. Our target is 20 to 25% from the current 5%.
Right. I was going to ask that. Right. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for giving.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, sir, and all the best.
But hang in there. All depends on our reaching. This is a target, and it has to be on reaching those quality levels and so on.
Right.
Yeah. So, of course, so it's not a done deal that you just decide and it will happen. The quality stringency in the export markets, and especially Toyota's requirements, are way higher than the Indian market.
Right. So, of course, it depends on all those factors.
Yes. And since it is Aichi themselves will be buying our material, and they are working with us, so the target is to achieve those numbers. And they feel confident that we will achieve those levels.
Is their consumption of our production likely to increase?
No, just so it is zero, no?
Right. So, but our agreement with them would be that they'll buy back some finished goods.
There is no such agreement of buyback.
Okay.
That is the plan. You see, the beauty of dealing with Japanese and the beauty of having a long-term relationship, a friendship and understanding is these things don't need to be there in any agreement and so on. What's the point of a buyback agreement if you say market conditions have changed and so on, you know? There are enough ways of getting away from getting out of a buyback agreement.
Right. True, sir.
Yeah. So we don't have any written agreement in terms of how much quantity there is, but we know the developments coming in, no?
Right.
So we are keeping track of all the developments coming in. This particular grade of steel is going to be used in this part, in this vehicle, from the year 24, from the year 23, from the year 25. So 2025 is the year of a major platform change in the Toyota system.
Okay.
So 2025. And all this preparation is for the 2025 platform change. And once our steel gets into that 25 platform change, then we are home secure.
For a good, right.
Yes, for the good 10 years. 8 to 10 years.
Got it.
Till the next platform change happens.
All right.
So this is very important for us to achieve those numbers. I mean, the timelines.
Fair enough, sir. That was all from my side, and all the best, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your interest. I haven't seen so many questions. This is the longest call, I think, in the last few years that we've attended. That just shows that though we are a small company, we seem to be attracting, and I see several regulars out here. So it's nice to have a family because we are an old-fashioned company. We believe in long-term relationships. We also believe in long-term relationships of the analysts trying to cover us and shareholders who remain with us and hopefully gain in the dividends that we share out as well as wealth acquisition in terms of the value of their holdings going up over time. We have repeated again and again that we are a long-term oriented company. So we should be looked at as an investment from the long-term perspective. In the short-term, very difficult to be partners with us. But once again, thank you all for your support. All the best.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.